Newsbreak podcast.
It's putting right what was a ludicrous judgment in the first place. I think it's a victory not for Muslims. I think it's a victory for reasonableness, for mutual respect and tolerance. Had this case not been won, or even if it eventually went to the Constitutional Court, the implications for all religious communities, for people looking around the botanical gardens, around the stadium, would be very far-reaching and negative. What we're talking about here, Mr. Ilori wanted an totally undisturbed house. Now, can you imagine somebody deciding, and as we very well know, for example, even the small fireworks of Diwali or Deepavali, saying, no, I cannot tolerate it. It hurts my ears, aside from the whole pet issue, whatever. I think the Hindu community, not going to be able to birth even a few or celebrate a few fireworks. Football matches, rock concert, symphony in the park. I mean, you could extend this logic to crazy levels. If you're living in an apartment building, for instance, someone not be able to, do anything if it's a bit noisy and disturbs what you'd perceive to be your private space.
With that said, how concerning for you is it that a court in Durban ruled the opposite way of what the Supreme Court judgment said today?
It beggars belief as to how, the people making the judgment applied not only their minds, but more importantly, applied the law. There's so much in this judgment that goes back to precedent and to the test of reasonableness. And another important thing that has come out of this judgment is who's to say what is your belief. You see, Mr. Ilori said he didn't think the azan was intrinsic to the Muslim belief. We have a school in Greytown that is insisting to tell the Muslim student or the Muslim learner that a beard that he wants to keep is not intrinsic to the Muslim belief. Who's somebody else? It is not intrinsic for me to tell somebody of another faith what is their religious belief system, especially when it's a 1,000-year-old or a 14,000 or a 5,000-year-old well-established religious practice. There are many implications of this judgment. One has to, the judgment that said something to the fact that, the Constitution guarantees the right to religion, but not to the freedom to its practice. How is that even possible, that I can be a Muslim, but I can't, that the tenets of my faith are not guaranteed, but you can be a Muslim or a Hindu or a Jew or a Christian or a Baha'i or any other faith for that matter?
Dr. Suleiman, the judgment read that his motivation for pursuing litigation was not an advancement of constitutional justice, but rather his dislike of Islam. I think, what's your thoughts in this in the context of religious tolerance?
So on the first level, second level as to who it is for somebody else to tell you what is intrinsic to your religious belief or not, this concept of your space, you should be completely undisturbed in your private space, it takes us back to a situation where people can go talk to each other. You see, the implications of this judgment were that now every fundamentalist of every persuasion could now, for serious reasons, go and attack a church, a mosque, a temple, for any noise, but a football stadium, etc., etc. This has taken us back to reasonableness and opened the door again for people to go talk to each other. I was saying, even now, contact us, contact your local mosque, go sit and talk to them and say, guys, you're parking on a Friday. It's worth disturbing us. Come on, let's make a plan. Let's see what we can do. Then we said to the mosque, if there's a church next to you and they need parking on a Sunday, open the mosque parking to the church. Let him park instead of parking on the road. Let him come park next to you. That sort of thing. This is how you build relationships. This is how you strengthen religion. And more importantly, this is how we keep the fundamentalists that would divide us and cause problems away.
Newsbreak, Lotus FM, powered by SABC News.